Amen. If you have your Bibles, if you would please turn with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. And we're going to be reading one verse of scripture there. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 29. For our God is a consuming fire. Our God is a consuming fire. Jesus, we thank you today. We praise you. God, we give you glory and honor. Thank you, Jesus, for the opportunity to bring us together online, to allow us, God, to share our hearts and our minds together. As we look into your word, as we hear your word, help us to respond. Help us to receive today what it is that you have for us. We're quick to give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. God bless you. May be seated. This afternoon, I want to preach to you a message that is based on the few, short, but the powerful words spoken by the Apostle Paul as he writes, as we have read today, our God is a consuming fire. Let's say it together. Our God is a consuming fire. God bless you. Throughout the entirety of the Old and the New Testament, it is God who, within the power of his might, has time and time again showed forth his God's greatness and his ability to utterly destroy the powers of iniquity and sin by consuming them in the fires of his wrath. And it is he, God, who has also poured out upon those that would oppose him the fires of his displeasure. As it is he, God, who comes against the falseness of those who would seek to defile his people in their attempts to lead they, or we as his people, astray. This afternoon, I'll bring to you a clear illustration of both the power and the fierceness of the wrath of God. As it is he, God, who in the presence of not only his people, but the 450 prophets of Baal and King Ahab himself, where it is God who shows without a doubt that there is no other God whose power that is greater than his. And before we begin our reading, let me say that during this time in biblical history that God, through the words of Elijah, was about to cease from causing the rain that had been stopped for a period of 3 years to begin to pour out once again. Amen. It is we who come to a time wherein God had grown impatient and tired of King Ahab, along with the 450 prophets of Baal and the prophets of the Grove 400, whom the Bible said were they that eat at Jezebel's table. If you return with me now to the book of 1 Kings chapter 18, where it is Elisha who calls for Ahab to meet him. And as God was preparing to show his people and all that were there, that there was no other God in Israel that anyone should serve under other than he. We begin our reading this afternoon at verse number 19 through 24. It is 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 19 through 24. Now therefore, send and gather me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal, 450, and the prophets of the Grove, 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elisha came unto all the people, and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then Elisha said unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on the wood, and put no fire in it. And I'll dress the other bullock, and lay it on the wood, and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I'll call upon the name of the Lord, and the God that answers by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. Right from the start, it was Elisha who calls unto the people. How long? I wonder today if that would really go well. How long halts between two opinions? Either you're going to serve the God of Israel or Baal. But you cannot hang on the fence between two loyalties. Either you're going to love God or you're going to love the world. Either you're going to serve God or you're going to serve your flesh. You got to make a decision on just who you plan on serving. You can't have it both ways. You can't have a mixture of one and just salt it with the other. You got to choose. You got to decide just who it is you're going to be loyal to.
Amen.
For not only the people of Israel, but those under the reign of King Ahab had gone after and had been following Baal, listening to and after the words of the false prophets. And they, the people, had set up groves, and they'd fallen away from their serving and following after the Lord. This just seemed to be something that over the time throughout the New Testament, even really in the time of the Old Testament and the New, where people would love God, serve God, commit their life to Him, and the next minute they'd be traveling off in another way, going after false gods, serving gods that didn't bring them out of Egypt, serving gods that could really not deliver.
Amen.
And as we read, Elisha cries out, "Listen to me, people. I remain the only prophet of the Lord, and I'm going to show you the 450 prophets of Baal that they're false, and Baal is a false god.
Amen.
Come, let us give us two bullocks for an offering and a sacrifice, and let the God who answers by fire, let him be God."
Amen. Amen.
Turning our attention to verses 26 and 27 of chapter 18 of 1 Kings. "And they took the bullocks which was given them, and they dressed it, and they called on the name of Baal from morning until noon, saying, 'O Baal, hear us.' For there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leapt upon the altar which was made, and it came to pass at noon that Elisha mocked them and said, 'Cry out, for he is God. Either he's talking, or he's pursuing, or he's on a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth, and he must be awakened.'" Could you imagine that? There was Elisha right before the 450 prophets. "Hey, I don't hear nothing from your God." That false god Elisha then mocked them. "Come on, cry louder." It must have been funny that day. Maybe he's talking. They didn't have cell phones back then, but maybe he was talking to somebody on the side, going after somebody who was on a journey or even sleeping. "You got to wake him up." And the people's rage was kindled, and they cried out, and they cut themselves, the Bible says, until blood gushed out. And all this was to no avail. Let's continue reading verses 30 through 38. 1 Kings 18, 30 through 38. Let's see where this goes. "And Elisha said unto all the people, 'Come near unto me,' and all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elisha took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, 'Israel shall be my name.' And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, and he cut the bullock in pieces and laid the wood. And he said, 'Fill 4 barrels of water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood.' And he said, 'Do it the second time.' And they did it the second time. And he said, 'Do it the third time.' And they did it the third time. And the water ran around about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering, that the evening sacrifice, Elisha the prophet came near and said, 'Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art the God in Israel, and that I am the servant, and I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me this people, that they may know that thou art the Lord God, and thou hast turned their heart back again.' And the fire of the Lord fell, and it consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood, and the stones, and the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench." Could you imagine that day, the look on everybody's face as Elijah calls and he repairs the altar and they pour water on it? I thought, well, this is going to be great failure. This ain't going to work. He didn't do it once, twice. No, he did it 3 times. Elijah wanted to show them this is going to be emphatically the fact that God, the God that answers by fire. What Elijah was doing was preparing to show the people, King Ahab, and the 850 prophets, that there was no God, that no other God is going to be there that would prove to his people that he alone is God.
Mm.
God does it. I want you to know, you throughout your Bible, if you read it, he often does it in an undeniable fashion to where all doubt in whether he truly is God or not is gone. God will take it and he'll show you, oh, well, I'm going to show you emphatically. I'm going to show you absolutely that I'm God. I'm going to answer you in such a way. I believe that's the way it is, like with the Holy Ghost. I'm going to show you. I'm going to put my spirit on your inside. I'm going to take away your stony heart and make you a heart of people that serve me. Undeniably, you can say, well, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Well, we don't even know if there is a Holy Ghost. And then that fire falls on you, and God pours out his spirit upon you, and you speak in an unknown tongue, and you prophesy.
Yes, yes.
Hallelujah.
Verse 37 to 38, it was a consuming fire of God that began to fall. God showed his power. It was God's consuming fire that all the people saw and they experienced that day.
Amen.
God answered by fire. It was our great God Almighty, who before the people became a consuming fire, swallowing up the sacrifice, destroying the testimony of Baal, proving to King Ahab that the Lord God Jehovah, he alone is God. It was Elisha who ran after that, called upon the people to destroy, to kill all the 450 false prophets of Baal. And together the people, the Bible says, took them to the brook Kishon, and there they killed them. Sometimes I want you to know, you got to take that falseness out of your life and you got to destroy it. I'm not going to allow that into my house. I'm going to let it into my mind. I've got to give it to God. I've got to take it out and kill it. I've got to stop it because it's standing between me and Almighty God. Over and over again within the pages of our Bible, it's been God who has proven that God is a consuming fire, burning up dead works, defeating in us the power that sin had to destroy, taking out of the way our enemies, bringing down the strongholds of Satan and burning up that which is in the way of God destroying all who would oppose him and who stand in the way of we, his people. See, through God's consuming fire, he brings justice to the redeemed. It's God's judgment upon all who choose to live ungodly. It's God who calls for we as his people to worship him in the beauty of holiness.
Yes.
God is a jealous God. Our God is a God whose judgment is right and whose power remains unmatched. There is no one greater. There is no power greater. There is no position that anybody in the world. Remember in Egypt when they were over there and the magicians did it and the soothsayers, whatever they had, and then there came a time where it stopped, where God took it from there over the top, and he showed them there is no other God. My power is outmatched. My opportunity to talk to my people and take them into higher heights and greater depths is beyond anything that one could imagine.
Amen.
Again, speaking of God being a consuming fire, looking back into the history of the outpouring of the Spirit of God and the fires of the God of Pentecost. As it is written, it was the power and the Spirit of God that began to break out through the manifestation of healing, through the miracle of deliverance, as it was God who poured out of his Spirit upon all those who in their lives sought after him. You want God? You begin to seek him. You want God to show you his power? Then get on your knees and begin to call upon him, saying, God, I want out of this prison. God, I want away from this addiction. I want my life back. I want my normality. I want to be able to think clearly.
Yes. Yes.
The fire of God spread. People, it is told, back in Azusa Street from every walk of life traveled to where the consuming fire of God was falling. Eyewitness accounts speak of those with infirmities having entered into the house where prayers of the people was being offered up were healed.
Amen.
It was told that a 12-year-old girl who was crippled and that walked into the place where they were meeting in crutches in a very short matter of time, she was seen dancing around without her crutches, praising and magnifying God.
Amen.
For her healing.
Amen.
Wouldn't it be something, church? You know, they take away this in person, they take away our or a prohibition, and they stop it and they say, you know what, you can get back together. What would it be? People from the street, they walk in from the street and they walk into the presence of God. And as they step through those doors, they lift up their hands and start talking in tongues. And maybe those that are sick, those that need healing in their life, suddenly things will begin to change. That's when you get to that place where the Bible says, if my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray. It was a power of God that fell, and it was a spirit of God that met many who came with none other than a desire to receive their miracle. I want to tell you that needs were met. The Holy Ghost was poured out. Unbelievers were suddenly turned into believers, as it was they who began to speak with tongues and to magnify God. Many souls were being baptized in Jesus' name. Destinies, not only on that day, but even unto the very day in our 21st century, on those who seek the fire of God to burn within their lives, to consume that which needs to be burnt up and burn within their souls, that was the power of God, that God can and he will change. You want God to take away that smoking habit, that drinking habit? You want God to put rightness into your mind? I'll tell you, you seek God. You search for God. You just get honest and deliberate. Say, God, I have got to be more than an overcomer, just like the scripture says. And I'll tell you, God will meet you in your miracle.
Amen.
In modern historical times, those who were lame walk. The eyes of the blind have been opened. They who were once crippled were healed. I want to tell you that coming off the streets and conditions where their people, their lives were captivated by addiction, some bearing infirmities, others in need of God's salvation. These, I tell you, were they who in their lives all became testimonies of the power of God. It was they who their old lives are burned, and their new life, which is in Christ, continues to burn even unto this day.
Yes.
Lighting the fires of God in and through prayer, I want you to know, possesses the power to set any soul that is captive and bound free.
Amen.
It is in these modern times, in the time of the pandemic, that a lady named Pamela, she tells how she was healed of her Bell's palsy. She says that her son took her by the arm and had brought her up to the front of the church for prayer. And in enduring prayer for her healing, the consuming fire of God fell, and she, Pamela, was healed, and she began to worship and to praise God. The onlookers, those that were in that church that day, wherever they were gathered together, could you imagine the look on their faces as she went from being crippled to being healed?
Amen.
It was Teresa, a 17-year-old, who was part of a summer mission team. She prayed, and she asked God to allow her to see a miracle. Well, one night in a prayer line, a man was led to the platform, and he was blind. After being prayed for in the name of Jesus, he walked from the place where they were, calling out, I can see!
Amen.
I can see!
Amen.
Another young lady named Marilyn, who because of this pandemic has only been able to communicate with a family that she's working with through the messaging. She tells of Alice's family, who had a 12-year-old non-verbal autistic daughter, a daughter that the doctors told her parents she would never speak. Through the power of prayer and the fire of God being what had been burning in the hearts of the girl's parents, it was a young daughter who walked up to a mother a couple of weeks ago and said, Mommy, I love you. And then she turned to her dad and she said, Daddy, I love you. The whole house erupted in praise and unto God. And during that Bible study, the mother told Marilyn how they can now hardly get their daughter to stop talking. I want to tell you, God takes things beyond the doctor and the medical profession. God takes things that you would call impossible, and he makes it possible. If you take that word impossible and you cut it, you can say, I am possible. I'm possible. God did things that other people would deny could ever happen. He showed undeniably in the people's lives. Even during a pandemic, even during a lockdown, even during times when people are getting depressed and overwhelmed with anxiety, God can set that captive free.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hear what it is that I'm saying and trying to share with you today. If only it would be you who sought to understand the power that lies within the consuming fire of God. It is your life and it's your future and ultimately your eternal destiny, which through God, God can and has the power to change. Nobody can help me. Nobody can save you. I declare today that God can.
Hallelujah.
God can save you.
Yes,
God heart of God, as it is God who releases your soul from sin. Through the power of prayer, being the one to experience the chains of addiction, the torments of your mind, the captivity of your soul by Satan being loose, is what can come to you when it's you who, through the power of your prayer, did you catch that? Power of your prayer to want to set your soul free. Walking into the church house, even just taking the time to consecrate yourself through the power of prayer in your home, is what has a potential of releasing the power of God within you to where it will be He, God, who through the fire will burn up and remove everything in your life that for however long has held you bound.
Amen.
I remember 38 years ago, 38 and a half, I was struggling with the cigarette habit. I was smoking 2.5 packs a day. And if I was drinking, I'd even smoke more. And I tried everything. I had more New Year's resolutions in my young life than you could throw a stick at. But there's one time my brother said, well, just ask God. Well, how do I just ask God? That's what you do. Just ask Him. Just ask God. And so I said, God, would you take this cigarette habit away? And it was through prayer. And faith in God. And my believing that God would help me. Oh, well, did you have any nicotine fits? You have any cravings? Absolutely. But every time I turned it back to God, and I stand here to declare to you, I didn't get the patch. I didn't go see some psychiatrist. I didn't get hypnotized. I just got prayerized. I got overcome the habit and many others through the power of God's consuming fire.
Amen.
In the New Testament book of the Gospel of Luke, chapter 3 and verse 16. Would you turn there? The book of Luke, chapter 3 and verse 16. Here it is, John the Baptist, who declares that we as God's people and all who in their lives who choose to follow after Him will receive what? The Holy Ghost and the fire. Buried with Him by baptism unto death, rising with Him to walk in newness of life. The songwriter writes the song, it's the Holy Ghost and fire, and it's keeping me alive.
Amen.
Under the power and through the consuming fire of God, it is God who takes from you that of you, as I've already said, your stony heart, and gives you a heart of flesh. People that are bitter, people that are angry, people whose lives are locked in depression, God can take that out of you, take that heart, and turn it around and make it a heart of flesh. Give you a love for your Creator. God can give you a love for your brothers and sisters. God can turn around those that you hate and fill you with a love that you've never felt before. How? Through that consuming fire of God. It is the fire of God that enables us to live above sin. It is the consuming fire of God that allows our life sacrifice to remain fresh every day. It is we who boldly come before His, God's throne of grace, destroying the power that sin at one time held over us. How? Through the fire of God, as the works of the flesh, His purpose is only to destroy, is burnt up. People every day are walking away from life and lifestyles that would shock you and make you look at them and think, I can't believe that was you. And their lives are turned around. And today they're living testimonies. They're walking epistles to the fire of the power of God, to the power of what God did in their lives.
Amen.
The prophet Jeremiah, who declares in Jeremiah 20:9, His God's word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. Let me tell you, something happens to a soul who receives the gift of the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues. Something happens to a soul who's forgiven, one whose sins are washed away in baptism in Jesus' name.
Amen.
They got this hunger. I got to tell you what Jesus did for me. I want to tell you how God delivered me. I want to tell you what God in His power and His fire has consumed in my life. And now I'm walking before God as a testimony of the greatness of the great God Almighty, Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
As a New Testament church, as we have the opportunity of experiencing the consuming fire of God. Through God and that new birth experience, God burns, as I've already said. I want to tell you again, He burns, consumes your old life. As it's God who consumes the sin in your life that held you down. It's God whose consuming fire carries within it the power to forever set to make you free.
Right.
In the book of Acts chapter 2, as 120 were in the upper room and they received the gift of the Holy Ghost, it's a Bible that declares that there appeared unto them cloven tongues, fire that sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. In the book of 1 Corinthians, if we would turn there, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 13, the Apostle Paul writes, how that every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. The fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. You need to ask God in your life to burn up today that which does not belong. Burn up today that which keeps you as a wall between you and your Creator. Asking God to open up your mind and your heart to the place where God will fill you with the Holy Ghost. He'll turn your life around. See, throughout your walking with God, it is and will continue to be the fires of God that clean off the old growth. As it is you who in such times will need to take out the ashes of yesterday's fire in order to allow God in your life to be the one to build new and fresh fires, ones that will ignite within your soul a desire to want more from God.
Amen.
When we don't get to the place, do we have to go to church on Wednesday? Do I have to be there on Sunday? I can't wait to get to church on Wednesday. I can't wait to get to church on Sunday. Do we have to have a Tuesday night prayer meeting for 30 minutes? That's 30 minutes of my time. I can't wait for that prayer. I got to be able to pour it out on an altar.
Amen.
And pray that the fire of God consumes that is trying to get in my mind, that doubt, that fear.
Right.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Yes.
As we head for a close today, I want to encourage you to take the spirit of this message thought to you in order to begin this very day to allow God to start a fire from within you.
Amen.
Let God begin to spark that coal, put a little bit of kindling in your soul. And during this time of separation, one from another, why don't you decide to let the fire of God fall from within your house? And it is the Spirit of God who waits to be what pours out upon you, a fire that will be a fire that changes the course of your life and your soul forever. Wouldn't that be something? You wake up the next morning, tomorrow morning, Monday, and you go to work, and you tell your fellow employees, you say, I just got the Holy Ghost last night. You know what? God healed me of my sickness. I can't believe it. I just asked God for this, and the power of God came into my home, and everything changed.
Yes, Lord.
The sister's offering comes today, and as the music will begin to play, I want you to right now, right where you are, why don't you close your eyes and maybe lift up your hands and just start by talking to God and determining in your life to give God everything. Matter of fact, you're all and just watch and see as what it is that consuming fires of God in this day will begin to start falling on you. Instead of being rejecting in your mind, instead of saying, I don't need this message, you need today to have the consuming fire of God fall on you. If it's you who needs to repent, if it's you who needs to seek forgiveness and the mercy of God, then don't put it off until later what it is that you know that you need to do today. As we stand together within the rooms of our home this very day, as the fire of God is preparing to fall, if you have the Holy Ghost, then don't let that fire go out from within you. If it's you who seeks to be renewed, then let the fires of God consume any dead works in order to allow a fresh and a new fire in God to be what burns within you. Finally, this afternoon, if it's you who is new to God, desiring to come unto God, then I call to you the fact that the time has come for you to let go of everything in your life and to give everything to God. Let God burn what no longer belongs in your life. Let God be the one to allow your life and your soul to be what burns afresh and anew. The time will come to be the one for you to experience what happens when the consuming fires of our God that begin to fall. Why don't you take a time right now, take a moment, just talk to God. Say, God, I want you to meet me in my miracle. I want you to burn up my dead works. And whatever you need today, the power of God is here and He's ready to meet your need.
Take that and we should hold me prison and